Welcome to today's news headlines from the Scottish Radio News team. I'm Alistair Connell. And a man has been arrested and charged almost 3 months after an incident in Aberdeen Park when another man was allegedly attacked and a dog died. A 51-year-old man was taken to hospital following the incident at Eric Hendry Park at about 8:30pm on July 27th. Police said his XL bully dog died following the incident. The force said a 40-year-old man had been arrested and charged and is due to appear in court. Officers had previously said they were carrying out inquiries to trace everybody involved. Two men have been arrested and charged after cannabis and cocaine worth more than £1 million was found in the Highlands. The recoveries were made on the Black Isle over the course of 2025, and the two men, both aged 28, were charged following a police investigation. They are due to appear at Inverness Sheriff Court on Monday. Police Scotland said the arrests showed that they would not tolerate illegal drugs within the local communities. Police Scotland has said it is ready to put more resources than ever into tackling violent incidents around Bonfire Night. Antisocial behaviour and public disorder have blighted Bonfire Night celebrations for the past few years, and senior officers have vowed to catch and prosecute anybody using fireworks to target emergency services and the public. The annual campaign, codenamed Operation Moonbeam, starts on Monday and will bring a heavier response from the police. In 2023, more than 60 police officers were injured, many after coming under attack with fireworks and petrol bombs. The most serious disorder took place in the Nidri area of Edinburgh, where a group of 50 youths threw fireworks and petrol bombs at the police. From Monday, public order officers will use body-worn cameras to gather evidence and identify suspects during any incidents. A technical fault has halted the National Lottery's Saturday evening lotto draw. It's understood that viewers watching the rollover saw the programme abruptly cut off after the bonus ball failed to drop on the draw machine. The operator, Alwyn, confirmed the draw had been paused due to the bonus ball not dropping and would resume as soon as possible with an alternative machine and under the supervision of an independent adjudicator. It's not yet clear what caused the glitch. US President Donald Trump has said he's increasing tariffs on goods imported from Canada after the province of Ontario aired an anti-tariff advertisement featuring former President Ronald Reagan. In a post on social media on Saturday, Trump called the advert a fraud and lashed out at Canadian officials for not removing it ahead of the World Series Baseball Championship. That's you caught up for now. More news in an hour.
Mearns FM. Weather.
A cold start to the day, but a lot of bright and dry weather on Sunday morning. Clouding over from the west during the afternoon, with rain spreading east mid-afternoon. A maximum temperature of 7 degrees Celsius.
On DAB, online, on FM 105 to 107, and on your smart speaker, this is Mearns FM.
Mearns FM. Morning, welcome to worship on this wonderful sunny October day. It's good to gather together as God's people. We are going to worship God in song as we sing our opening song, which is In Christ Alone, and the words are on the screen.
Solid ground for the
Let's join together in prayer. Our God, may that those words that we've just sung not just be words we sing, but words that we mean deep within our soul, that Jesus is our hope. He is the one that we can turn to and trust in. Father, today perhaps we come with a whole host of baggage, a whole host of things that would make us feel downhearted and despondent. But may the words of the psalmist be ours, God. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. God, might that be our prayer today, that when we come with worries and with fear, with despondency, that God, we would know you as our hope, our rock and our refuge to turn to and trust in. God, might you bless us and encourage us this morning as we come to worship you. For you call us, your people, into a lifestyle of thanksgiving, of praise, of joy. For in you there is joy, in you there is delight, there is the blessings that we are to know. Lord God, we come with thankfulness because you are the prayer-answering God. You are the one who has set us free. You surround us with your abiding presence and love. Day after day, you are our helper. You provide your victory in times of trouble. And so when we are afraid, when we are downcast, we can trust in you. So God, may we give all of our thanks to you. Help us to proclaim your love, to speak of your mighty deeds. Fill our hearts with gratitude and delight as we enter into your holy presence. But God, as we draw near to you, we're conscious that our lives are often marked by sin. You made us to live a holy life, but our lives drift from that. So God, we reflect upon our past week. And as we do so, draw to our minds those things that we need to say sorry for, to repent of. Perhaps it's words we should not have said. Maybe we were not loving towards our fellow neighbor. Our hearts were filled with pride or jealousy or greed or boastfulness. And so God, we repent. We turn our back in those things we say sorry. And God, as we repent, we hear the words of assurance from you to us. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Lord, that's our hope through Jesus, that our sins are cleansed. Our past is forgiven. Our future is remade. So make us into your people all the more. We thank you for sending Jesus to be the way, the hope, and the gate. We thank you for him being our friend, our rescuer, and savior. So we commit our time to you, giving thanks to you for the new life that is ours through Jesus, because he has made the way. And it's in his name that we pray, and in his words we say together, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Sing again to God's praise. We're going to sing together, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. going to read from us from... He's going to read for us, again, we're looking through the letter of 1 John, so from verse 18, so page 1226, 1 John chapter 2, from verse 18. Keith.
Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, this is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See, what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Here in the lesson.
Fairview Church has been here, or at least this building has been here for coming up to towards 200 years, and may you'll know there's the old kirkyard just on the hill in Kirkburn. It was there for 100 odd years before that, but people have been following Jesus in our part of the world here for about 1500 years. But how is it the Church of Jesus is still around today after all of these decades and centuries? How's the church anywhere in the world after two millennia since Jesus lived, died, rose again, and went back to heaven? And how is it the Church of Jesus will still be here in the world for many more years and decades and centuries to come? And the answer comes to us in what we have just read, what Keith has read for us. We get here and we're going there because we've been worshipping God the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, in spirit and in truth. I'll unpack that in a minute, but John opens up what he means when he says in the opening words that he read. Remember, he's writing to his friends, the people in God's church, and he says, "Dear children," in verse 18, "this is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going from us showed that none of them belonged to us." So John is writing to the church family a bit like us today, and he's saying that there were people you might remember who were part of our church family, but are now no longer here, who were not of us. In other words, he's saying they were not Christian. Or the phrase that he uses, or the word that might sound a bit harsh, we'll come to it in a minute, the word that he uses is that they have the spirit of the Antichrist. But John goes on to contrast with that with other people, with the true family of God in verse 20. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and because of that, all of you know the truth." So two words to unpack, and we'll unpack them in the next few minutes, the word anointing and the word Antichrist. But to summarise what John is saying, he's telling the Christians there, you have been anointed in some way by Jesus in contrast to some other people who he calls the Antichrist. Now, Jesus throughout the Bible is often called the Holy One, and that's why we know that Jesus is the one who seems to have given the Christians, including us today, this anointing. People like you, like me, who are Christian, have an anointing from Jesus. And you might say, fair enough, Andrew, but what on earth do you mean by we've been anointed by Jesus? Well, in the Old Testament, before Jesus came along, you'll remember perhaps the stories where anointing shows up, in that God's people in some way were given a special significance, or something that was used for God's purposes was used. And what would happen is the oil would be taken, ordinary oil, but it would be marked on the person or the object to say, this is special. This is not an ordinary person or an ordinary thing. It is to be used specially for God's purposes. And so you might remember that in the temple and in the tabernacle before that, the thing that was used to bring people together to worship God, they often marked all the things that were used with oil. And so we don't really do it in a church today, but if you were, then you could say, well, the lectern, we're going to use that to read the Bible from, or this lectern here, or the pulpit, or the pews, or the font, or whatever else it might be. We'll put some oil on it to say this is special, used for God's purposes. Or people like kings of God's people, the prophets who told people about God, the priests who pointed people and helped people to draw near to God, were anointed too. Even all of God's people, the ordinary man and woman, boy and girl, were called the anointed people of God. And so on, you get the picture. Special, marked out for God's purposes. And the ultimate example of that term is with Jesus, who is the Messiah or the Christ. Messiah is a Hebrew word in the Old Testament. Christ is a Greek translation of that. Jesus is the anointed one, the special king from God who's been marked out by having a role that you don't have, I don't have, no one else has. Jesus says of himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to proclaim good news. Or in Acts we read, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. So what does it mean to be anointed by Jesus? Because last time I checked, as far as I'm aware, none of you are prophets, priests, kings, or queens, and nor am I. And I don't remember Jesus coming to me with a cup of oil and saying, Andrew, I anoint you. And I doubt he's done that with you either. So what does it mean to be anointed by Jesus? Well, it means that Jesus has poured out upon every Christian here or elsewhere in the world something of what he has received from the Father. And that most special thing that he's received is the Holy Spirit that Peter mentioned a few minutes ago about. The Holy Spirit has come to live within us and has anointed us. As I just said, in Acts we read, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And so every believer in Jesus, everyone around the world who trusts in him, has been anointed by Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And we're told something happens as a result of receiving that in your life, in verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One by Jesus, and so all of you know the truth. Something's happened that we get to know something because the Holy Spirit, God himself, has come into our lives. There's a story that, I guess especially as a kid, kids often like rolling about in the dirt and the mud, and I like the story of Jesus dealing with some mud. There's a blind man that Jesus meets one day, and the blind man comes up to Jesus and he says, can you heal me? And Jesus in most other instances just goes, you're healed, or he might put his hand on their eyes to open their eyes, or to he might touch their legs and say, you can now run when you're before you were disabled. But at this time it's different. Jesus decides to spit on the ground and taking that sandy, dusty soil, turns it into a kind of mud paste, and then puts that on the blind man's eyes. And he says, open your eyes, and the blind man can see. And it's kind of like that with us. Jesus comes and anoints us, not with a muddy kind of paste, but with his Holy Spirit. And the blind man can see, and we can now see, or we can now know things we couldn't know before. Here's what verse 20 is telling you and me today. One of the defining marks of a true Christian is that we've been given the Holy Spirit, God himself, living within us, and we now know because of that. We now have the power of God living within us. And I wonder if you recognize the magnitude of that. If you were a Jew in the past, where did you go to meet with God? You had to go far away to the temple, perhaps many days walk away to meet with God. Where do you go to meet with God? I come to church. You don't have to come to church. It's good to gather together, but God doesn't live in this building. God lives within you. He lives within our hearts and within our souls. We and you and I are the temple of the living God. He lives with you and in you. And we're told as a result of that, you now know. And what do we know because of that anointing? Verse 21 says, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and no lie comes from the truth. What do you know? You get to know the truth. You get to know the truth about God because of the Holy Spirit living within you. And what are the lies that we're told? It says, who is a liar in verse 22? There's a person who denies that Jesus is a Christ. That kind of person is the Antichrist. And so the lie is that Jesus is not the Christ, that Jesus is not God's special king and saviour for the world, that Jesus is not God's rescuer for humanity. The anointing of Jesus allows you to know, helps you to believe, Jesus is my friend, my rescuer, my saviour. He has opened my blind eyes to see and to know the truth of who Jesus is. And that's important. Because in the verse we just read there in verse 22 and verse 23, the person who is the Antichrist denies the Father and the Son. And in verse 23, no one who denies the Son, who denies Jesus, has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And so if you know Jesus as your friend, your Savior, your King today, it's because Jesus has anointed you by his powerful Holy Spirit. He's opened your eyes that you might say, Jesus is my rescuer. He is my treasure, my rock, and my refuge. Without that anointing, you could not, would not know that truth. So we looked at anointing, but that other word that I mentioned, the Antichrist, what is that all about? It might conjure up an image of, to you, like some kind of demonic kind of devil figure with kind of goat horns, and maybe like the stereotypical image of the devil with kind of red body. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible says there is some kind of figure who is a greater antichrist, I guess, someone who doesn't want to follow God. But there's more than what it, more than that to it. So who or what is the antichrist? Well, it does what it says in the can type of situation. In other words, anti meaning against, Christ being God's King, the Anointed One, and so they are against Jesus. John's the only one who uses the term Antichrist, but that idea of a figure who is really against Jesus, not just is an atheist or an agnostic or ambivalent, but someone who's forcibly against Jesus, who might come in the future, is found elsewhere in the Bible too, in Daniel and Revelation in particular. But John says that's not just some future thing, is also happening today. He says the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in the world. And he's writing maybe 50, 60 years after Jesus had gone back to heaven. And how is that spirit at work in the world? Well, it's found throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, we meet not just good prophets, but false prophets. Folk who would shout out to God's people in a market square, come, let us go. Not to the temple, let's go somewhere far away and worship this God instead. Or there might be evil kings who teach the wrong thing, who take God's people into the wrong kind of lifestyle. Or the Gospels, we meet Judas, who walks with Jesus but then isn't at the end. Or in the rest of the New Testament, we're told about false prophets, those who bring division, teach the false things and water down the good news of Jesus. They're characterized by teaching the wrong thing and then walking away from God's truth. And that sometimes happens. We might have seen that in the lives of those that we've known and loved who maybe used to come here or another church, but now no longer. And maybe they're forcibly against following Jesus. Not just ambivalent, but clearly hating all that they used to know and believe. I remember reading about a guy in America. His dad is a famous writer, pastor, preacher. He speaks at conferences the world over. Many folk listen to his sermons the world over. And I think he's got four children. Three of them are either pastors or working in some kind of Christian ministry organisation. The other one has a TikTok account basically saying, I hate everything I used to believe and everything my dad used to stand or does stand for, and that my family believe. I'm not saying he's... And that's kind of what John's pointing to. Folk would be hating everything they used to believe and hating all those who would follow Jesus. So John's holding before us two types of people. Those who know and love Jesus and those who hate and disregard everything to do with Jesus. Now, don't need to get the wrong picture that everyone who's not a Christian must be like an antichrist figure. That's not what John's saying. He's saying that there are certainly these two categories of people, those who hate and those who love. And in the middle, there's lots of ambivalent folk perhaps as well. But he's saying there are certainly people who deny Jesus and who bring disunity and help people walk the wrong way. And I wonder if the people who were formerly in the church have now turned into being like these other figures. What happened to them? Because maybe they were the ones who were serving in the church. They brought along their offerings Sunday by Sunday. They turned up at various churchy things. What happened? How did they go from one to the other? Well, John tells us what happens. They failed to remain in Jesus. I rejoice in our church here today and also gone before us into glory. There are many people who are clearly anointed by the Holy One. It shows in your lives that you treasure Jesus, that you love Jesus, that you make Jesus your all. But that's great for today, but if God gives you another 30 years, what about the future too? Well, John tells us in the closing verses in verse 24 onwards, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will remain in the Son, you'll remain with Jesus and the Father. And that's what he's promised you, everlasting life. Notice what John is now saying. Let what you've heard about Jesus, abide in you. Let that truth of Jesus, the Son of God, remain with you. Let it be firm, rooted, unshaken. May it remain precious today and tomorrow and next week and for the rest of your life until you breathe your last. Verse 29, the last verse of the whole chapter, has the same, 28 has the same idea. And now, dear children, continue in him. Continue walking with Jesus. Don't stop. Keep on going. And it can be tempting for us to say, I'll give Jesus a few minutes of my time, or I'll give Jesus part of my life. But when things get tough, I'm going to leave Jesus at the sidelines. But that's not what John says. He says, keep on walking with Jesus today, wherever you are in your life, and until you breathe your last. And he wants you to do that because when you breathe your last, he wants Jesus to say to you, as I'm confident he will to many of you that I know right now, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I hope God gives me many more decades of life. And I want those last few decades of my life, as my death was to draw nearer, I would want them to be my years of most following Jesus. I want them to be my most generous of my years, the most fulfilling of my life, not because I'm going on doing all my holidays and other things, not that they're bad, but I want them to be the time where I give all my all to Jesus all the more. Because I've been knowing that every day is one day closer until I meet Jesus, until I know his goodness and richness forever. I hope that's the truth for you too, that you say, I don't want my last years to be my worst years. I want them to be my most fulfilling of years. The years I give my all to Jesus, know his goodness and his love in my life. We must abide in Christ, remain with Christ, continue with Jesus, and let his truth soak deep into your bones. I think sometimes we can let the Bible be like a poem or like a piece of art to us. And what I mean by that is sometimes you might go to a museum or a kind of a festival where you might hear a poem and you go, oh, that is so cool, that is so true. Or you see a piece of art and you're like, oh, that's really affected me deeply. And then the rest of that day you're thinking about that poem or that kind of piece of artwork. But then you go to bed that night, the next day you've forgotten all about it. And I wonder if that can be the case with us too, that we let the Word of God work for, or we let the Bible do that within us for a few minutes, hours or day. But it shouldn't be like that. The Bible should be something that should transform our life, not just for the afternoon after we first hear it, but for all of eternity. Paul says something about the Bible in 1 Timothy. For the word of God, the Bible, is active and alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to the soul and spirit, to the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I love that kind of weird way of seeing it, but it goes deep into your joints and your marrow, i.e. the middle of your bones, a bit that you hopefully you will never see and never have to deal with in your life. What he's saying is, when we let the Bible do its work, it shouldn't be like a poem or a song or a bit of art that goes, oh, that feels nice or feels different for the next 5 minutes. It should be like a surgeon who extracts cancer from the depths of your abdomen, or like a heart surgeon that gives you a new heart transplant. That's what it should be like when we read the Bible and let it work within our hearts. It should give us a whole new life. Jesus gives us a whole new life. And so if we turn up on a Sunday and go, well, that's my Bible reading done this week, whatever Keith or Andrew or someone else at the front reads for us, that's my Bible reading done, we're not letting the Word of God change us and transform us. So are we letting God's Word speak to the depths of our soul? Are we doing it daily, asking God to speak to us and transform us, not on a surface level, but deep within? When you go home today and you turn on the radio, or you watch the telly, or you read the newspaper, you're letting in some way the world speak to you through the adverts, what the journalist says, what the advertiser says, or whatever else it might be. Or when politicians come round your door and they speak to you from the headlines saying, vote for us because of this, that, and the other. We're letting them speak to our hearts and change how we think. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. But isn't it quite bad if we let that shape our life more than we let God, our Creator, shape our life? And so if we're going to be faithful and fruitful, we've got to keep on following God. John warns us from those who would deceive us, from those who would deny the Son and the Father and would lead us astray. He says that in verse 26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray, who would take you the wrong path, who would say, follow me, not follow God. And maybe you have seen people like that. They used to walk closely with God, but then something happened that they followed the wrong path of life. But we're told to do what verse 24 says, to remain in Jesus, to follow Jesus, to trust in Jesus, to let the truth of Jesus live deep within our soul. So friends, if we're going to be a faithful and fruitful body of God's people, if we're going to see communities transformed, our lives being transformed, it depends on two things: letting the Holy Spirit change us, and the Word of God, the truth of Jesus, change us too. If we do that daily, if we ask God to change us and transform us, we will be those who go out to transform the world. And I hope the prayer of David in Psalm 51 is your prayer too. David says, cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me. That should be your prayer as you wake up each day saying, God, be with me today. I want you to walk with me. I want you to always be around me. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing, and it's a very famous hymn called St. Patrick's Breastplate. It's not the words, it's just that's the name of the song. And the words are basically St. Patrick, the famous saint, writing, saying, God, I want you to always be with me. And he says it in very a basic way, and I've not got the words before me, but basically he says, Christ be before me, Christ be beside me, Christ be around me, Christ be within me. And in the second verse, it talks about to my left, to my right, to my forward, to my backward, Jesus be around me everywhere I go. That should be your prayer and my prayer. God, go before me into work tomorrow. Be around me. God, be with me as I go and visit my family, as I go and deal with grief or I deal with joy. Lord, be around me. Jesus says, Church, Bearview Church, you are the hope of the world. You are the light of the world. And you might think, how on earth can we be the light of the whole world? How can we be the hope of the whole world? It's simple. It's easy. Let the Holy Spirit abide within you. And as you let your souls be transformed by that precious good news of Jesus, you will be propelled to be fruitful and faithful. And I pray that God will cause his truth, his anointing, to abide within each of us, that we might go out to transform the world. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for that good news that you are a God who does abide within us, that you're a God who remains with us. Our Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to transform us and change us from the inside out. God, I thank you for many, many people that I could list to. It's so obvious, so clear that they let your Holy Spirit, your truth, abide within their hearts and souls. But Lord, may that be the case for all of us. And may it be the case for all of our life that we would let this good news remain within us. And as a result, that we would be propelled out to be fruitful for you, to be faithful to you and your kingdom. Lord, send us out with this good news, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing again before we pray. We're going to sing together, O Church, Arise. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Our God of grace, God of might, God of love, we thank you for your constant presence, your never-failing kindness, your ever-present hope, peace and joy. And God, we thank you that you're a God who's the same yesterday, today and forever. And whatever we have come with today, with all of the hurts and the pains, the joys and delights, you welcome us, you love us. You're the one who is willing to forgive us. You're the one who is willing to transform us. You're the one who is willing to adopt us as beloved children of God. So, Father, we pray that we would know that goodness within us today. We would know your abiding presence. We would know your never-failing love. And God, may you send your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of our hearts, whether we're young or old, whether we have known you for decades, or we're just beginning that journey. Lord, bless us with your presence, your comfort, your peace, and your hope. God, we pray that the fruit of that Spirit, your Holy Spirit, as Galatians tells us, that they might be evident within us, that our lives would be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. God, may all of these things be increasingly evident in all of our lives. That tomorrow, when the boss is domineering and unkind to us, Lord, that you will help us to be filled with your peace, that we might be patient. Lord, that we might be gentle in response. Lord, when things encroach upon us which make us frustrated and life is difficult, God, help us to be filled with faithfulness to you, to not abandon you but to walk with you all the days of our life. When we see those who are in need, Lord, give us your heart of compassion. Give us kindness, we pray. Make us gentle. Fill us with your goodness, we ask. Lord God, we thank you that just in these past couple of days, we have seen a peace deal in Israel and Palestine being enacted. And we pray for the hostages to be released over these next 24 hours. We pray for aid to be received by those in need. And we pray an end to the war of terror and conflict. We pray an end to all that would be out to demean, destroy, and harm. Lord, may people on both sides of that conflict be blessed, be at peace. And Lord, may you work your mighty hand of power and love in that land. May we see that enacted too around the world, wherever there is conflict, for the people in Sudan, for those in Nigeria, for those in Ukraine, and in plenty of other places too. Lord, we long for peace to overflow in the world. We pray locally for youngsters and families as the school holidays begin. For those who are currently away, Lord, we ask your peace and your blessing with them. For the children, Lord, we pray for safety and security at home over these next 2 weeks. We thank you for schools and for teachers and staff. May you give them rest. And Lord, might you continue to work within each and every one of us, that we would know your blessing, your joy and your presence all the days of our life. As we battle with illness and poor health, as we fear the future because of our circumstances, Lord, may we know your abiding presence. May we know the comfort of your, you walk alongside us as that good shepherd. Go before us, go before our families, our friends, our community, we ask. For we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So may you go to abide in Jesus. May his presence, his power, his word abide within you all the days of your life. And may God's blessing be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
DAB, online, on FM 105 to 107 and on your smart speaker. This is Mearns FM News.